He is the head of the body, the church. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is a fact that Christ is not only the King of the supernatural order, that is the church and of all those things unseen, but also of the natural order. That is, Christ is the King in all secular affairs, and his sovereignty extends to every aspect of creation. Because he is God, he holds all things in being, he preserves them in being and makes it possible for them to do what they do, and therefore, in the end, it is all his, it is his possession, and he is therefore king over it. But there are many ways that people deny Christ's sovereignty. Obviously, people deny his sovereignty every time they commit a sin. But more specifically, people deny his sovereignty in a variety of ways which we should consider. The first are those who propose a separation of church and state. This separation of church and state has been condemned by several popes, but clearly it is manifest by Leo XIII in Libertas Praestantissimum. And here we're not only talking about those who adopt separation of church and state as an official policy of the state, but even when politicians refuse to allow Catholicism to inform legislative decisions. It is also a matter of fact that people think that freedom of speech is somehow a right that they have. Freedom of speech was condemned by Leo XIII in relationship to those things that pertain to religion. That is, nobody has a right to freedom of speech if it's going to detract against the Catholic Church or if it is going to cause harm to the common good or corrupt the moral state of its citizens. Outside of that fact, we do have a certain freedom of speech, but not outside that context. There are also those who deny Christ's sovereignty by saying that non-Catholic religions have a freedom of public worship. This, again, was condemned by Leo XIII, and if I'm not mistaken, Pius XI. Only God has a right to grant public authority regarding the worship of him. Those rights were given to the Roman Catholic Church alone. And we know this by virtue of the fact that he told the apostles, and of course their successors, go baptize all nations. But also we know it because Christ told Peter, feed my sheep. He didn't say that to anyone else. He didn't say it to any other religion. And therefore, these two statements of Christ actually are interpreted by the Catholic Church to mean that only to the Catholic Church was the conferral of jurisdiction in which the Church has rights over the public worship of mankind. Only the Roman Catholic Church were given the power of orders by which people are sanctified. Hence, only the Roman Catholic Church has a right to public worship and to determine it because it is the only public authority regarding these matters since it alone has received it from God. People deny Christ when they deny that his only church, the Catholic Church, is the only divinely established means of salvation, since Christ was God and established the Roman Catholic Church alone as having rights. No one else has a right to public worship, principally because nobody else has a right to false public worship. For instance, the Jews can no longer even practice their religion, since A, their temple was destroyed in which they exercised their religion, just as we would say that a Catholic does not practice his religion if he never went to Mass, so the Jews who cannot offer the sacrifice which is proper to their religion can no longer do that because the temple in which that sacrifice must be offered has been destroyed. Moreover, the sacrificing of Christ outside the temple, the Jewish temple, was a sign that God's religion was no longer that of the Jews since it was not done in that temple. God gave testimony also to the blasphemy of the Jews by rendering the temple curtain because of the fact they had delivered him up to the civil authorities that he might be put to death. Blasphemy is something which we do in word, that is, we detract by God's from God's holy name or something of this sort, and the fact that the word of God was put to death was a form of blasphemy. Cardinal Belot observes that the Council of Jerusalem abrogated the Christian practice of attending Jewish rituals, that while, as St. Augustine says, it was tolerated that the Christians for a time would attend the Jewish synagogues, it was done as a matter of reverence to their fathers. But by the time of the Council of Jerusalem, the Christian practice of attending the Jewish rituals was abrogated, which is a sign that the Jewish rituals are defunct and no longer affect what they say. No Protestant, schismatic, or heretic has jurisdiction, since they have separated themselves from the church, which has jurisdiction, and therefore they violate the rights of the Christ church every time they employ a sacrament or any time they use any element of sanctification. They violate Christ's right to determine that the Catholic Church alone should administer these sacraments. No non-Christian religion has the right to public worship, since the religions are false and offend God. And the state has an obligation and a right not to grant rights to non-Catholics to public worship, although they may at times have to tolerate it for the sake of common good. The Church has never said that the state should abrogate or should condemn people for private worshiping, except in cases of things like witchcraft and satanic rituals, but other religions may have to be tolerated regarding their private worship, but none of them have a right to public worship. Not only public in the sense of that they can that people can go to their churches and things like that in public, but also from the fact that they are not a public authority anyway. That is, only the Catholic Church is the public authority that has rights to determine divine worship. And therefore, in the stricter sense, no other religion, technically speaking, has public worship. That is, in the sense of it pertaining to God, who is the public authority, having determined it. You also see people deny Christ's sovereignty when they think that it's their place to determine what their moral code is. For example, when people refuse the Church's teaching on contraception, abortion, fornication, and the like. When people abandon, sometimes you also see people just give up on the secular sphere altogether without trying to reform it according to the natural law and without reforming it according to the divine positive laws. And by that we mean, for example, according to the order of charity. Also, we see this abandonment of the secular sphere in relationship to God when courts forbid public prayer and things of this sort. In this particular case, when they forbid public prayer to God, they violate the rights of God, who has the right to receive public worship from every one of us. Also, the Roman Catholic Church has a right to engage in public worship anywhere and under any circumstances, provided it is not contrary to the common good, and in that case it still remains the right of the Church, but she must at a certain time forego the exercise of her rights out of prudence to protect the common good. But these are in the rarest of cases. We also see people deny Christ's sovereignty when people refuse to allow God in public discussion entirely because they are concerned about offending others. Provided one is prudent, discuss these things with other people, if they take offense, it is their problem. We cannot deny God his rights to reign supreme in every forum just because people might get offended. As God's subjects, we have a grave obligation to work for the kingdom of God, to establish the supremacy in the exercise of the singular rights of the Roman Catholic Church, which is God's church, and to be obedient to all of God's commandments. We must not think that God's kingdom will have full reign in this life, but that is what we must strive for, because in the end, at the final judgment, that is what will be fully established. All other religions, all secular governments will pass away, leaving only a total theocracy. The reason we cannot have a total theocracy in this life is because God has chosen not to command us directly, but through those people who have received his authority, that is, the Roman Catholic Church and civil authorities. While we cannot have a total theocracy in this life, and to just try to strive for one is to deny God's choice in having his jurisdiction meted out to different people, that is, to the Church and to the civil authorities, while we cannot have a theocracy in this life, we can take joy in looking forward to it in the next, in which Christ's sovereignty is absolute in every aspect of our lives. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.